Our book critic John Leonard has a review of Michael Schmidt's new novel, The Dresden Gate. Like Schmidt's first novel, Green Island, published in 1982, The Dresden Gate is set in Mexico and is about a clash between colonial and indigenous cultures.
Ordinarily, if you want to read fiction about Latin America, stick with the Latin Americans. They know how to tease their own ghosts. Whereas even the best of the European novelists, when they go south of the border, do so because they're tired of themselves and want the energy of the exotic. And they bring their symbolic binoculars and their heart of darkness with them. They look at the jungle and the volcanoes, and what they see are the ruins of European systems, capitalism, colonialism, imperialism, Marxism, Christianity, and they despair all over again on someone else's time, which is a kind of imperialism of the imagination. Michael Schmidt is a different, special case. Born and raised in Mexico, but of European stock, educated in the United States and England, a poet, a publisher, and editor of a British literary magazine, he is a refugee from everywhere, although both his novels have been set in Mexico. In The Dresden Gate, Mexico, sometime after the misrule of the Habsburg Maximilian, on the eve of a violent 20th century revolution, is real, and the European characters are merely symbolic. Their time is over, and they should go home, but they don't have one. This textured Mexico is just getting to know itself. Its Indians are barefoot, and its priests wear masks, and on the Day of the Dead, children burn votive candles and eat skulls sculpted out of sugar. But they are beginning to dream their own future, to invent themselves without the white man's help. Whereas the white men in this novel are states of mind, dispossessed, cut off from their own history in a plantation fortress behind a wrought iron gate. Meet the paterfamilias Don Raul. He thought to change the bad luck of his life in France by buying this Mexican estate from the last of the German Obermüllers, who'd had enough feeding at the New World trough. The gold is gone, and there's not enough water to irrigate the sugar cane, and the natives are menacing. But Don Raul doesn't notice, because he can only look inward at an emptiness of purpose. His bored and pretty wife Paula has left him, his younger bohemian brother Alex is dead, and his son and only child, blonde, blue-eyed, nameless, seems to waste away from lack of belonging and lack of meaning. The huge hinged gate brought all the way from Germany, a symbol of every pretension of European culture, isn't proof against peons who have found their voice in blood. The nameless boy may want to lose himself in this fresh blood, to choose Mexico over his father, but Mexico is a different color, naming itself, and under no obligation to accept him. There's nothing here of what the critic Irving Howe calls Latin American boom boom. Modest and concise, yet shadowy and elusive and haunting, The Dresden Gate is almost lugubrious in its ambiguities, like Kafka's castle in the wrong America. Maybe, suggests Schmidt, the weariness of the North is sexual as well as cultural, panned out, bone dry, and bleached. Maybe the brown-skinned peons are for the nameless boy a kind of repressed unconscious, historical or otherwise. Maybe he thinks the Black Madonna is the mother who renounced him. The point is, whatever the white man thinks and wants no longer matters. Mexico, dreaming its own dream, doesn't care.
John Leonard writes about television for New York Magazine and is a columnist for New York Newsday.